We are picking up at chapter 36, Perek Lamed Vav. So in the previous time we were together, I guess the highlight, I guess if you could say that, of the last time we spoke was in Perek Lamed Hey. The Alter brings a mashal, it's actually from the Zayar, of the Yanuka, a little child, and the whole story over there. And the basic point is that our soul is a candle. That's the basic point. Our soul is a candle. And that means there are four components that make up the candle. First of all, there's the oil. Second of all, there's the wick. Third of all, there's the flame. And then you have the actual burning of the whole process. The burning of the candle. So the oil, he explains, is mitzvahs. That's the fuel. The fuel to the fire is the mitzvahs. If you don't have the mitzvahs, then there's no oil. There's no fuel to the fire. Then you have the wick. The wick is the guf, is the body. That's me. Then you have the flame that rests on top of the wick. On top of the guf is the shechina, which happens when you do the mitzvahs, giving fuel to the body, to the flame, giving fuel to the body. Then you have the shechina dwelling, the flame coming on the wick, on the body, on you. And that's why he explains over there, you shouldn't walk without with an uncovered head, shouldn't walk without a yarmulke, because the Shekhinah is dwelling there. How could you go without a yarmulke? I'll be Kabbalah, that's why. One of the reasons why. And then finally you have the actual burning, the actual consuming of the oil and of the wick itself. The wick itself gets consumed. And that is the Maisa HaMitzvah. That's the action, the energy expended when you're doing the mitzvah. That was the mashal encapsulated in brief. Now, going back, what is this mashal all about? What's the Alter Rebbe telling me? So, we learned earlier in Tanya, really Perek Vav, that everything fits into one of two categories in general. It's either Klipa or Kedusha. Klipa means it's not holiness. Kedusha means it is holiness. So, most things in the world are klipas noiga. Now again, within this two-part division of klipa and kedusha, klipa itself is further subdivided into another two. One type of klipa is the klipois tameois, the impure klipois. You can't do anything to a chazer, you can't do anything to it. It's just totally off limits. But then there's a second category of klipa called klipas noiga, which is like a pariv, intermediate state, which most things in this world are fall in the category of klipas noiga. Now you might call that unholy. Right, there is Kedusha and Klipa. Kedusha is holiness, Klipa is unholiness. But perhaps it would be more appropriate to call Klipas Noiga that it's not holy yet. Or you might call it potentially holy, i.e. not holy yet. So what does it mean? You have many things that can go either way in the world. And the mitzvahs typically are using these Klipas Noiga, these physical things around us that are neutral, that are this intermediary state, and they're elevating this physical matter and transforming it into Kedusha. And not only that, but my body itself is being elevated and transformed. I'm burning calories when I do a mitzvah. This too is, in other words, the physical energy that I'm using, that I'm expending when I do a mitzvah, is also nichlal, also becomes included in the realm of Kedusha. So part of what this mashal is trying to tell me is that everything around me is being used and burned up and consumed to light the fire, to shine that the Shekhinah should dwell. So, why do I need to know this? Why does the Beinoni need to know this mashal of the candle and this concept that we're using and consuming the material objects in the world, including myself, and including the air that I breathe, and including the water that I drink, and the food that I eat? It all becomes elevated to the realm of Kedusha when I do a mitzvah. That's very nice, very beautiful, but what do I need to know that for? Remember the Tanya, it's not a Sefer Chassidus per se. It's a system of Avodas Hashem. So how does this fit into the system of the Tanya? So at this point, the Beinoni may have an existential question. The Beinoni might say like this: I learned the Tanya up till now. I get it. I'm doing it. I'm putting it into practice. I've got two souls. They're fighting a battle against each other. I gotta suppress my urges. I can't give in. Then I need to work up some inspiration to keep it going, etc., etc. I need to learn how to deal with the flat tires of life. How do I deal with sudden problems that come out of nowhere or problems that creep up slowly, whatever the issue might be. I get it. I'm doing it. It works. It really does work. I'm on board. But the Beinoni might wonder. It's like I won the second prize. I'm not a tzaddik. You told me that chances are I'm never going to be a tzaddik. So come on, what's the point of all this? A tzaddik is much better. So it's nice that you're like making me feel good, that I'm doing good stuff and I could succeed, I could suppress my yitzhar hara, my nefesh bahamis, and I could accomplish good things and so on and so forth. Okay, it made me feel good. Very nice. But at the end of the day, isn't it second fiddle? Isn't the tzaddik just so much better? God has a purpose, right? The tzaddik does it better than I do. No matter what, at the end of the day, I've got my struggle, and I don't want to talk about it out loud because sometimes it's embarrassing. I've got my struggle, and I'm even doing a good job dealing with it. But again, it's like coming in second place, second fiddle. What's the point? The tzaddik is so much better at this world, so much better at living than me. So what's the point of me doing the Tanya? What's the point of all my efforts? That's what the Beinoni might be wondering. Questions or comments? So the answer is like this. Chapter 35 and on. When the tzaddik wants to come closer to Hashem, what does he do? He does the same thing that I do. He does a mitzvah. Same thing. He puts on tefillin. Tzaddik, Beinoni, put on tefillin. Same thing. The tzaddik wants to connect to the Eibishter in Chanukah. What does he do? Lights the menorah. What do I do? Light the menorah. Same thing. So actually, it's not like second fiddle. It's not second place. I'm doing the exact same thing as the tzaddik, and by doing that, I am slowly but surely transforming and elevating the world into Kedusha, just like the tzaddik. So there's no existential question here. I'm doing the same thing like the tzaddik. He would do the same thing as me, and he does do the same thing as me. And that's where we come to chapter 36, Perek Lamed Vav. So at the beginning it says, Vehine, on page 90, Perek Lamed Vav, Vehine mudaz zois mai mirazal. It says, in Medrash, Shetach lizbriyas oil mazeh, the ultimate purpose of creation, hu shenis'ava kodesh baruch hu liyos lo yidira batach toinim, is because the Eibish, their desire to have a dwelling place, a dira batach toinim, in the lowest world. We're not going to get into a discussion now of the fact that there are many different worlds because it's not directly relevant to what we're talking about. We're not going to get a discussion right now of all the different reasons for creation that are brought in other svarim. We could talk about it another time maybe, but if we get into that, it's like a whole... we're going to be on that topic for another year. So for now, this is the reason quoted in Chassidus. This is a medrash that Hashem desired to have a dwelling place in this low world. Now, what's a dira? What does it mean to have a home? A dira is a home. What does it mean to have a home? So a home is a place where you feel comfortable. That's what it means to be at home. As soon as you come home, you take off your jacket, you take off your shoes, you sit down and you relax. A home means you're comfortable. It's a place where you identify. It's like you ever travel for a long period of time, or you go to Eretz Yisrael for a year to yeshiva or something like that. You come back home, I'm at home. I identify with this place. That's what it means to be at home. So what Hashem wanted was he wanted to, so to speak, identify with our place, with this world. He wanted to feel comfortable here, to be at home. He wanted to be comfortable here. That's when you say you have a guest over and you say, make yourself at home. What do you mean, make yourself at home? It's not your home. No, make yourself at home means make yourself comfortable. That's what it means. So Hashem wants to be comfortable, so to speak, in this world. But he wants it specifically in tachtoinim, in the lowest world. In the highest world, it's no big deal. It's anyway pure godliness up there. Again, we're not going to get into the whole discussion about the different worlds. But for the sake of simplicity, the higher worlds, pure godliness. Okay, great, so God's anyway comfortable there. Big deal. That's simplifying, but... So how do we make the world comfortable for Hashem? Well, we got to make it holy. Hashem's home is holy. He wouldn't be anywhere else, right? So we have to slowly make the world a holy dira, where Hashem will feel comfortable. And the way we do that is by converting, by transforming the world, the mundane world, the klipas noiga of Perek Vav, by transforming it into Kedusha. That's the purpose of creation. And the Beinoni and Tzaddik both do that. In other words, Hashem desires a physical world made holy by someone other than Himself. Because He could do it on His own, right? Hashem could do anything. So if Hashem wants to have a dira right here, Hashem wants to dwell here, He wants to be comfortable here, He wants it to be all Kedusha, He could do that on His own. Done. That's not what He wants. He wants me to do it. And He wants you to do it. On to chapter 37, page 92, flip the page. V'hinei, tachlis ha-shlemus hazeh shal yimoyis ha-moshiach v'tchiyas ha-meisim, the ultimate shlemus, the ultimate completion of this, which will happen in the Mashiach era, and tchiyas ha-meisim, shugilu arin tzeiv baruch v'olam hazeh ha-gashmi, which will be a revelation of the Ein Sof, the infinite light, in olam hazeh ha-gashmi, in our physical world, is toloi b'mayseinu v'avodiseinu kol zman meshach ha-golos, is dependent, is contingent on what I do today, on what we do all through Golos. Because what causes the schar, the reward, which is the dira, the dwelling place of Hashem in this world, what causes that gilui alakus, the revelation of godliness, is the mitzvah be'atzma, is the mitzvah itself. In other words, you have two possible ways, maybe more than two, but for our understanding right now, two ways to understand what a reward is, or rather how a reward works, different types of reward. One would be you say to your child, clean your room and I will give you candy. Very nice. So what does the kid do? Oh, candy, I love candy. I'm gonna go clean my room. Cleans his room, does a wonderful job, and you take a look, you inspect it, you say, ah, nice job. Here's the candy that I promised you. That's a reward. Schar. The schar is the candy. You did what he had to do and he gets a schar. The schar really is totally random. It's arbitrary. It has nothing whatsoever to do with what the kid did. You could have given him a marshmallow, could have given him a candy, could have given him sufganiyot. What's the difference? Oh, you give him some incentive to get him excited. But really, it's completely arbitrary. It has nothing whatsoever to do with what he did. That's not what the Alter Rebbe is describing here based on schar mitzvah mitzvah. Schar mitzvah mitzvah would be that the child cleans his room, and the schar of that is that now he has a clean room. In other words, there's a certain sense of satisfaction in a job well done. There's a sense of satisfaction in having a room that's organized and cleanly and pleasant. Yeah.
So then, are we saying that the satisfaction is the actual maisa mitzvah that I actually put on tefillin, or is it that by putting on tefillin I create this whole, like similar to the mashal, that now I'm burning the candle?
Perhaps a little bit of both.
So then it would be that in the sense by... So yes, you feel satisfaction from putting on the tefillin, but that only works in conjunction with the fact that you also know that you're burning the candle, so to speak, and vice versa.
I don't know. Look, I like to mow my small patch of lawn in front of my house. Okay, I like to do it. It started out as a pragmatic thing. I just didn't want to hire people to come every month or every two weeks or whatever they come in Queens, whatever it is. Mow my lawn, I have to keep paying them. What do I need it for? I went to Home Depot and I bought a lawnmower. That was a decent price. I've already made back my money that I spent on the lawnmower already. The whole family gets into it also. Now my kids mow the lawn. there's a certain satisfaction. You see the lawn, it's all wild and unruly. So I want to get the schar. The schar is that I'll have a nice looking lawn. So I mow the lawn. Mowing the lawn itself is a very satisfying thing. But there's two things. There's the act itself, which is the only way to get the result, is by doing that act, brings you to a certain result. Then afterwards you go, you take a look and you say, oh, it's so pleasant now. It's so cleanly. It's so just right. So when we do a mitzvah, when we put on tefillin, there's really two things happening. Or maybe more. There's two things happening when we put on tefillin. One is, maybe let's say three things happening. One thing is that I'm doing what Hashem wants me to do, which is to put on tefillin. Hashem wants me to put on tefillin. Hashem wants my arm to have tefillin on it. Second of all, Hashem wants there should not be a world where my arm doesn't have tefillin. There should not be a metzias where a Yiddish arm does not have tefillin on it. That metzias is out of the question. And third, that act of putting on tefillin slowly refines the world. How does putting on tefillin refine the world? Well, back to Perek Vav, Klipas Noiga. Where did tefillin come from?
Cow.
A cow. The whole reason a cow was created was to be turned into a pair of tefillin. So the cow is elevated. The guy who did the shechita or whatever, okay, without getting into the discussion of what type of hide animal could be used for the tefillin, that you'll ask your knowledgeable sofer. But the cow, you know, and then the person who works the leather and tans the hide and who dyes it and so on and so forth, paints it, whatever it is, and so on and so on and so forth, each step along the way is an intrinsic part of elevating the world, culminating in you actually putting on the tefillin. So it's all part of it. Schar mitzvah, mitzvah. Now the world is a place where my arm has tefillin, where my arm is not an arm that does not have tefillin, and where now the world is slowly refined, slowly elevated, slowly transformed. The gashmias of the world is slowly transformed. I can't see it. At least I personally can't. Maybe tzaddikim can see it. I can't see the transformation, but it's like someone makes a deposit into your bank account and you don't even know. The money's there whether you know it or not. Maybe one day you'll get your bank statement, you'll see it's there. Okay, I don't know how that works in Ruchnias. For most people it doesn't work. You can't see it. So Hashem desires a world that is a natural outcome, the automatic result of doing mitzvahs. When I mow my lawn, the natural outcome of that action is that the lawn is mowed. It's pleasant. It's orderly. So Hashem, so to speak, desires the same thing. He desires a world that is naturally what happens when you do mitzvahs. I'm not going to give you a candy, because a candy is totally arbitrary. It has nothing whatsoever to do with what we're talking about. I mean, okay, candies are good. They're nice. But the real reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah and the type of world that it generates, the type of world that it makes. Not some arbitrary thing. That might be part of the reason why in Chassidus you don't find so much discussion about Olam Haba. Because, don't quote me out of context here, but it's as almost as if, what does Olam Haba have to do with anything? You did a mitzvah so you get a reward in some other world? What does that have to do with anything? And again, don't quote that out of context, but it's like getting a candy. Oh, you got a candy? Okay, very nice. Candies are great. I love candy. Who doesn't like candy? What's it have to do with my mitzvah, though? You could have given me just the same, give me some other type of schar. So here, what the Alter Rebbe is pushing is that, no, the reward of the mitzvah is the mitzvah itself and what it does to me and the cow and the world around me. It's the natural outcome. Questions, comments?
I have a question.
Go for it.
I'm just on the previous parak. you were saying that, like, it's like Kedusha, like Kaviyakal, makes Hashem feel more comfortable in this world, but someone told me that Kedusha is, like, kind of, like, just means, like, some, like, Hashem's, it's more clear, what do you call it? Thing, it's clear that something's an extension of Hashem. Like, Kedusha comes, I don't know, like, Kedusha is kind of, like, comes from Hashem, or, meaning,
I'm
what is Kedusha?
What is Kedusha?
So, like, someone said it's, like, godliness or something, like.
Okay.
Like, the way you said it, that Kedusha, it makes it, like, Hashem is more comfortable in this world. But still, what does that mean? Like, what is Kedusha? Meaning, I would have understood that someone does mitzvot, that's not just making, like, the world, like, Kaviyach, a more comfortable place for Hashem. That's literally bringing Hashem there. That a mitzvah is is Hashem, Kaviyach.
Well, you have a good point. A mitzvah is Hashem Kaviyachol. It's not really. It's not really Hashem. What a mitzvah really is the Rotzon Hashem. The will of Hashem. It's what Hashem wants.
I know. It said in Parag Gimel, like it's for Dalit. It's like that Ivari HaMelech or something.
Right.
It's like from Hashem's Kofma.
At the end of Parag Dalit, right?
I don't know. It's Gimel or Dalit.
Kimachadik HaMelech, no? Is that what you're talking about? The
yeah,
marshal of hugging the king?
It's by Torah, but also by mitzvot.
Right.
Well, it's, he's not, well, the king, well, the king's around him by mitzvot.
Right.
By actions.
Right. So, if I understand what you're asking, you have a good point. It is a little bit of both, but a mitzvah is not Hashem. A mitzvah is the rotzoin of Hashem. It's the will of Hashem. It's what Hashem wants me to do. And by doing that, there's a natural outcome. Maybe I get a candy also. Candies are good. But there's a much more natural, non-arbitrary outcome as well, which is the connection. Or like he says at the end of Perek Dalet, Ki mechabek hamelech, you're hugging the king. That's the natural outcome. That's what it does automatically. But what it's also doing is affecting everything around you and every part of the way. When you're putting on the tefillin, it's not just me putting on tefillin doing a mitzvah. I'm now elevating the actual physical leather, the hide, and the cow, and every person along the way, and everything they ate to give them energy to do their work, to turn the cow into a pair of tefillin. All of that becomes elevated with the maisa ha-mitzvah, with the actual deed of the mitzvah. But the mitzvah is not Hashem. The mitzvah is the ratzon Hashem. That's why it's like kim mechabek ha-melech. As if you're basically like hugging the king. It's not the king. It's hugging. It's embracing the king.
Isn't there a whole thing about who the chachma so echad or something? I mean, we don't really understand it, but.
Well, the chachma is different than the ratzon. The chachma is the Torah, the ratzon of the mitzvahs. So that's why in Perek Dalet and Hey, which talk about Torah specifically and what happens when a yid learns Torah, it refers to it as a yichud nifla, not a yichud. Not a unity, but a yichud nifla, a wondrous unity. Because the type of yichud that takes place when a yid learns Torah is different than any other yichud that a yid can attain. Because it's a yichud that's much more, like you're saying, it's the chokhmah, it's much more pnimi than anything else. But that's making things very, very simple. I'm simplifying things greatly. Because obviously it's a huge topic of discussion, obviously.
If I remember correctly, the Nefesh HaChaim said who were Tzono Echad, but I don't know.
Well, I have to admit, as Chatoyani Masker HaYoyim, I'm not familiar with Nefesh HaChaim. I mean, I've heard of it, but I've never learned it, so I'm not qualified to comment.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay, so the shleimus in this world is through action. Abenoni, Atzadik, you name it. The shleimus that we can attain, which will lead us to Tchias HaMesim, Yemais HaMashiach, this is dafka accomplished through action. The action affects the object, the actual tefillin. It affects the energy that I'm using to put on the tefillin and all the food and drink that I consumed to give me the koyach to do the mitzvah. All of this becomes elevated. Every single thing that I use, the air that I breathe, everything becomes elevated when we do a ma'aseh mitzvah. A tzaddik, a benoni, boom. So the benoni need not wonder what's the point of coming in second place. On the inside, I'm always going to have my struggle. I'm never going to totally refine myself, says the benoni. Says the Alter Rebbe, that's fine. You can still contribute to Hashem's ultimate plan. You can still do your part of attaining shlemus in the world, like a tzaddik. Now, that being said, brings me to Perek Lamed Ches, on page 98. If action is so important, and in fact, if even in a certain way I'm just like a tzaddik, when it comes to action alone, he puts on tefillin and I put on tefillin and it's kind of the same thing. Because after all, the only thing that really seems to matter is action. Just do it. Just get it done. The Ratzon Hashem is A, so do A. The Ratzon Hashem is B, is do B. Like the Alter Rebbe wrote elsewhere, famously quoted in Chabad many times, Ilu nitztavinu lachtov eitzim, if we had been commanded to chop trees, that's what we would do. We would chop wood. We weren't. We were commanded to put on tefillin and to light Hanukkah, and so on and so forth. But in theory, what's the difference? What he told us to do? He told us to do A, B, C, D. It makes no difference. Just do it. Action is primary. Action is powerful. Action transforms the world. It burns the fuel of the world, turning it into a dira, a dwelling place for God. So where does that leave Kavanah? Kavanah is not important. That's chapter 38 now. So again, in other words, now that we've explained the power and the primacy of action, does that mean that Kavanah, hard to translate what Kavanah means exactly, they usually say intent. Does it mean that Kavana, my focus and my feeling, doesn't matter? So in chapter 38, you can guess, of course, the Alter Rebbe is going to say, no, of course it matters. Of course Kavana matters. Why? Action, we know why action is important. We have a whole mushel from Perek Lamed Hei of the candle. You want to say something or ask something?
No, I'm just, I guess, like trying to think about the question here. I mean, I would think that, well, isn't it self-evident if the person is trying to light this whole candle just because he wants light, rather than without keeping in mind, like, okay, well, by lighting this candle, what I'm doing, I'm lighting up the room so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is comfortable coming into the room.
So, okay. There's like a basic kavana of any mitzvah, which is, in a sense, what
I
we
need to do this.
What? I need to do this. Why do I need to do this? Hashem said so.
Yeah.
Like we said just tonight, Baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Ha'olam Asher Kiddushanu V'mitzvosav. Right. So the bracha itself, that's already kavana. Kavana. It is kavana. Why am I doing this? Asher Kiddushanu. He commanded us. With what? V'mitzvosav. He told me, do this mitzvah. So in a sense, I have kavana already. Or I should say I have the basic kavana that I'm doing what Hashem wants. But that's not really kavana. I mean, in a certain extent it is. What about a deeper kavana? What about a focus? What about an intent? What about some feeling? Some connection? Or is it enough? Just do it. Like, light, okay guys, and see you later, Ma'usur, have a good night. You could do that, right? Is it the mitzvah?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure it's the mitzvah. I mean, it sounds kind of boring, but yeah, it's the mitzvah, sure. Did you do the Ratzon Hashem?
Yeah,
you did. You put on tefillin in the morning, right? Hanich tefillin. Okay, guys. See you guys later. I'm going home. I'm going to have Danish. Did you put on tefillin? You did the mitzvah? Yeah, you did the mitzvah. So good, I'm potter from Kavana. What do I need Kavana for? All I have to do is do it, and I'm good to go. I did it. I'll get my schar. I'm going to transform, not even just in a selfish way. Hey, I'm doing my part, man. I'm doing my part. I put on my tefillin. I lit my Chanukah menorah. I'm doing my part in transforming the physical world around us. I'm doing my part. You want me to have kavana also? I don't want to have kavana. Kavana is too difficult. So comes Perek Lamed Ches, of course, predictably, I guess you could say. So no, of course you have to have kavana. But why? Action, we know why we have to do action. Because it's the fuel. Right? It burns. It helps the fire burn. So on Perek Lamed Ches, page Nun, 8 lines down from the top, the first word on the line is Bishar, and then there's 2 dots. Ach afal pichein omru tefila oishar bracha b'loy kavana. This is a quote from the Shla, by the way. Hen kiguf b'loy neshama. Yeah, you want to be a goof without a neshama? Okay, then go ahead and do a mitzvah without kavana. No problem. What's the difference between a goof without a neshama and a goof with a neshama? What's the difference?
It's the lack of the spark.
Yeah, one's dead.
Yeah.
It's imagine like this, al derech mashal. You build a whole apartment building or a house. You build a house, a beautiful house. So with each detail, precious details, so much thought went into it, so much planning went into it. And you, Mr. Contractor, Mr. Construction Guy, you built everything to the last detail. Gvaldik. Except for one thing. That's doing the mitzvah. You did the mitzvah, the maisa ha-mitzvah, the action. But you left out one detail. You didn't wire the place with electricity. So there's no light. Now bring in the electrician, have him wired. It's too late already if you built the whole building to wire it up now, right? Put in the lights, turn them on, and what happens? Ah, gewaldig.
We actually want to be in the house.
It's lebedig. It's alive. It's bright. It's shining. Same house. The Maisa HaMitzvah is the Maisa HaMitzvah. But we need kavana for the very same reason we need maise. Why do we need maise? Again, takes the gashmiyistika world, transforms it, elevates it, burns it up, consumes it up, turns it into kedusha, transforms the world into kedusha. Guess what? The kavana is needed for the very same reason. That's what the Altar is telling me now, for the same reason. Because otherwise, you have a goof blowing the shama. So if the whole purpose is that Hashem wants me, little old me, to do a mitzvah and thereby transform the world into a dira, a dwelling, a house, a home, a place where he feels comfortable, a place where he identifies. Hashem wants me to do that. Okay, I'll do it. But I will not smile when I do it. Okay, I still did it, right?
Yeah.
You ever heard the phrase, service with a smile? Or option two, I'll do it, and I'll smile while I'm doing it. It's a whole different story. It's not the same thing anymore. So the same reason I need maise, the same reason why maise is so crucial, for that same reason, that's why kavana is so crucial. It makes it lebedik, alive. If Hashem wants me to do it, all the more so Hashem wants me to do it with a smile, with a gishmak, with a nigin. Questions, comments?
Wait, but with the mashal with the candle, there's no, like, is there a candle or is there not a candle? Like, well, I mean, if you say it's like making kabiyacho like a place for Hashem to be comfortable, so basically it's not complete without kavana. But to some degree it is.
Well, it'll be like a house without lights on. It will be complete, but
But it's not complete.
I mean, technically, you could build the building. You could build it. Do the action. Okay,
so we need the Kavana.
Huh?
So we need the Kavana.
Absolutely. For the same reason that we need the Maisa.
But you're comparing Kavana to the insides. Or you seem somewhat to.
Well, it's part of creating the Dira.
Meaning, like, you talked about...
Kavana, I'm calling, for lack of a better way to refer to it, as focus and feeling.
So for
and
feeling...
Kavana means service with a smile.
You were saying Avinri can't really control the feeling so much.
No.
No, on the contrary. On the contrary.
I mean, you could...
I can't control the fact that I do have an inner conflict. There is an inner conflict. But Moyach Shalit Alalev, chapter 16, chapter 17, the mind rules over the heart. Not easy, but that's Betuldosai, the Alter writes, naturally. That's, I'm born that way. I'm born with the capacity that my mind can rule over and control my heart, my emotions. I can do it. Do I do it? That's a different question, but I can.
I think it's like a person who's depressed. Are they living? Yeah, technically they're living. Continue to live their whole lives like that. I'm sure there are many people, unfortunately, who live their whole lives like that, but it's not really much of a life if you live it out depressed. You are living, but it's just not enjoyable.
That's right. So can you put on your tefillin with a frown and you still do the mitzvah? Absolutely, 100%, you still did the mitzvah, totally. As long as you followed the halacha properly, you still did the mitzvah. But the same tefillin, but with a nigin, and with a smile, with a it intensifies the effect of the mitzvah. Same mitzvah, but now it's intensified in how it transforms the world. Again, service versus service with a smile. It intensifies the mitzvah. There's different levels of kavana, many different levels of kavana. He goes into the different levels. We're not going to get into it in this go-round of Tanya. But he goes into hold this level of kavana, that level of kavana, another level of kavana. Many different levels. And explained in other places in Chassidus at great length. Here, he goes, it really, the next number of chapters are all speaking about the different levels of kavana. I heard once before that they say that in order to understand all the different levels of kavana, you either have to be very, very holy, or you have to be a big Baal Taiva. Because a Baal Taiva understands, there's many different types of pleasure in this world. There's the pleasure of steak. Then there's the pleasure of single malt scotch. They go well together, by the way. Then there's the pleasure of, good dessert. The pleasure of sleeping. Oh, sleeping. No pleasure like the pleasure of sleeping. Wow. Then there's the pleasure of sleeping on nice sheets. We can go on and on. So a big Baal Taiva, erfah steak, gut. The difference in this type of kavana, that type of kavana, he knows exactly what you're talking about. Oh yeah, yeah, the steak like this and the steak like that, with this type of scotch and that type of scotch, oh, ich verstehe gut. So you either have to be a big Baal Taiva to understand all the levels of kavana, or you have to be mamash or Baal Madrega. You have to be holding on a very high level. So we're not going to go into the levels of kavana in this go-round of Tanya. Now, that's one level for what kavana contributes to the Maisa Mitzvah. Now, in chapter 40, Perek Mem, the Alter Rebbe gives me another mashal for Kavana. On page Nunhei, 2, 4, 6, 6 lines from the bottom. Ubazeh, you see that?
Yeah.
Ubazeh yuvan heitiv, hod dechil u rechimu nekroim gadpin. The mashal is a mashal of wings to a bird. The wings are yira and ahava, awe and love. That's the mashal, is the bird. Turn the page. The fifth line. I'm sorry, sixth line. Ki. See the sixth line? Ki kamoi shakanfe oif, einim ikra oif. Just like the birds are not the ikra of the bird. A bird could live without wings. Vein chayus oitoli bohem klal. Right, the chayas, the life of the bird, does not depend on the wings. If the wings are removed, the bird is still kosher. So you don't need the wings to be a bird. You're still a bird. But what are you missing? What is a bird without wings? Well, it's still a bird. But it's a crippled bird. It's a bird that no longer has its most important quality. That's why it's a chiddush, birds that don't fly. Who thought of such a thing? A bird that doesn't fly. A dodo. What the world is a dodo bird? What is the point of that? Maybe that's why they're extinct. That is why they're extinct, right? Because they can't fly. But the whole lineage of a bird is to fly. That's why it's a bird that doesn't fly. A taka, that's interesting. Ah, a bird that doesn't fly. What does it do then? Right?
It walks around.
Okay, animals walk around. So what makes it a bird? The whole lineage of a bird is to fly. So if a bird doesn't have wings, it could still live. It's still a bird. But what kind of bird? It's a bird that's lacking the most defining quality of a bird, to fly. But it's still a bird. So you could do a mitzvah without ahava and yira. And the Alter Rebbe is using here ahava and yira as the two main midos, the two main feelings, so to speak. Awe and love. Everything branches out from there. So could you do a mitzvah without wings, without awe and love? Yes. Is it a mitzvah? Sure, it's still a bird, but it doesn't fly. It doesn't soar above. It's lacking that elevation, just like the first mashal was the body without the soul. Now the new mashal is a bird without wings. It doesn't fly. The ikr of the bird is the head and the body. The wings, the whole purpose of the birds, it's meshamish. They just serve the head and the body to make them fly. But that's the whole inyan of a bird, is to fly. So too, Torah mitzvah is the ikir. It's the ikir yichud ha'elyon, the unity. The hatchilu urachimu, the awe, the yira, and the love, the ava, heimayli moisom, they elevate them, they make them fly. Lamokim shizgala boya rotzin, or in Seif Baruch, they make them fly to a higher level. V'hayichud shehin yitzir b'ri, etc. So what's the purpose of Kavana?
To elevate the Maisa that you're doing even higher than just doing the Maisa.
That's right. It makes your mitzvah fly. It makes your mitzvah soar.
Like lighting a candle with really good oil would make it the fire that much clearer.
Okay. Okay, yeah. Yeah. So could we do a mitzvah without the Kavana? Yes, we could. Does it count? So people always want to know. Did it count? Yeah, don't worry. It counted. And if that's the way you want to live your life, like a bird without wings, like a body without a soul, or like, Alter doesn't write it here, but the way we brought it out a little bit, like a building with the lights off, you want to live your life that way, okay, that's your choice. But what kind of life is it? Like you said before, what kind of life is that? There's living and then there's just plain old existing. What kind of, that's existing. You want to exist? Okay, exist. No, stones also exist. There's a rock on the floor. It's also existing. Good, me too. I also exist. That's what we want to say about ourselves. Chas v'shalom. I don't want to exist. I want to live. I want to fly. I want to be on fire. I want there to be light.
So I said, Chaim v'olam habes. First it has a Chaim, so then, of course, you're not going to be the mavis. So what does it mean, Pshat is? You could be living, like you said, existing but not living.
Oh. Right. What's the pasuk in Nitzavim? B'char de b'chaim. What does it say?
It's like Chaim v'es a tov v'es a mavis v'es a rar or something.
What were you thought I was going to choose mavis? Like, what's the Eibishter telling me? You thought I would choose Mavis? Come on. Give me a little bit more credit. I'm not going to choose Mavis when the choice is Mavis or Chaim. But no, there's two types of Chaim. There's Chaim and then there's Chaim. There's a life with a nigin, with a bounce, with an excitement, with a gishmak. There's a chaim with two wings. There's a chaim with lights on. That's what the Alter Rebbe says. That's what I'm going for. So action alone, that's number one. That's primary. Hamaisa hu ha'ikir. Number one is action. You've got to get the deed done. That has to come first. Kavana, we could talk Kavana all day long. It doesn't mean anything if I don't do the mitzvah. But we can't stop there. For the same reason I need to do the maisa, that it refines and elevates the world, it brings, makes the world the type of world Hashem wants it to be, for that same reason I got to do Kavana, because that's my service with a smile. It's so much more desirable. Which would Hashem want? He wants me to just do it because I got to do it, or do it because I love it. So I'm excited by it. So, to wrap up a little bit, some of the key points, I think, of what we discussed. The Beinoni need not feel existential angst that his actions are just whatever, just second fiddle. I came in second place. I'm trying hard, but I got this wicked struggle inside me that's not giving up. So just fire me, please, and hire a tzaddik in my place. He'll do a much better job. No. Hamaisa hu ha'ikir. We're trying to transform the world into a dira. The purpose of creation is to change the world, to transform the world into a dwelling where Hashem feels comfortable, where He can identify. And that's done through Maisa. Tzaddik or Beinoni do the same Maisa. So you're good to go. Your Maisa is contributing to Hashem's plan. You have a place in this world. You're also contributing. You're accomplishing something. You're changing something. You're doing something. That's number one to the Beinoni. Even if you're not perfect. Even if you're a little bit more than not perfect. You're contributing, in other words, to the perfection, the future perfection of the world, even if you yourself are not perfect. Point number two, mitzvos elevate klipas noiga, into kedusha, thereby transforming the world into a dira b'tachtonim, into a dwelling place right here. Point number three, the natural result of mitzvos is that it changes the world. It transforms the world, leading us towards the Mashiach era. That's the natural result. It's not getting a candy, which is arbitrary. It's what happens when you do a mitzvah. It changes and transforms the world. Makes it more beautiful. You mow the lawn, now the lawn is beautiful. Right? And then, finally, but action alone is not enough. Because you need kavana as well for the very same reason. Because now, again, I keep saying it, but it's so cliched by now in my mind that it just rings true. Service with a smile. It's just the way to get things done. Service with a smile, kavana, it adds energy, it adds life to my actions, it adds excitement. It's, again, like turning a light on in the room, or the other mashal, is the mitzvah, is the bird. The kavana are the wings that help the mitzvah soar higher. And that's the place of kavana. Comments or questions?
I have a question.
Yes.
Does Hashem love tzaddiki more than a beinoni?
Well, I can't speak for who Hashem loves more or less, but I know that in chapter 27 of Tanya, he spoke about two types of nachas that a person can cause Hashem. One of them is the nachas of the tzaddik, the perfect fruit. And the other is the nachas of the beinoni, or the bal tshuva, who is bitter. There's a struggle, but it's spiced well. The food is spiced, pickled, and transformed into something even more gishmak, even more pleasurable. So in that sense, there's an advantage to not being a tzaddik. Tzaddik has other things he needs to do. other reasons why the tzaddik's here. The Sefer Shel Beinonim is building up the Beinonim. Yeah. The tzaddik also has a purpose.
Would there be would it be a good mashal to say like someone loves their head more than their finger, but they're not willing to give up the finger?
Well, that is a good mashal. I think that's a good mashal.
So
yes.
So that means like, I know that if that's true, then that still means like the tzaddik is so much. I mean, if the tzaddik's like the head, so the finger, you know.
That's right. Just like we have, someone told me a maysa the
other
day.
You're saying there's something greater about the Beinoni than the tzaddik.
Yes.
One has miles and strengths over the other.
That's right. We're gonna if we made a chart,
like there's no
we
question.
Have to balance
like,
it out.
If you have a head, the muscle that I'm saying, the head and the finger. There's no question. The head's greater than the finger.
Can you live without a finger?
Well, someone could.
You could. Yeah. You're not sholem anymore. But you could live without a finger.
That's so it's a little different than what you're saying about the... Because you're saying it becomes greater.
I said each one has milas and chesronos over the other one. But there's no love of a head over a finger. It controls everything.
What's
the mile of a finger over a head? You can't pick up these pretzels.
Yeah, but that's only if it has a head.
Okay, well, that's because you chose head and finger.
You can't live without a head. You're right.
I'm saying...
You're right. You can't live without the heads. You're right.
Meaning also you can't have binois without side. You can't... See that.
It goes both ways. Look, someone told me a maysa just this past week. I don't know the details, so please forgive me for not knowing the details. That there was a person who became a Baal Tshuva. And I don't know the details. Please forgive me. Either he was engaged or he was already married. I don't remember. If you know the details, please tell me. Or if you find them out, please tell me, because I'd like to know more. The problem is that he was a Kayan. That's what it was. She was divorced. He was a Kayan. He can't marry her. Again, I don't know if they were engaged or they were already married. And he came to the Rebbe for advice. And the Rebbe told him something along these lines. And again, obviously I'm not quoting. Something along these lines. You know, you... The Rebbe said, you know, I know the entire Torah. All of it. No matter all my life that I'll continue to study and learn and connect to Hashem, I still won't be as holy as you. Again, it's not the direct words, but the idea, the concept. Because you're a Kohen. You get to bench, you get the first Aliyah, and you get to do the Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Things that I'll never be able to do because I don't have the Kedusha of the Kehuna. Now, the Rebbe would be, in this mashal, the Rebbe would be the head. The Kayin is a little old guy, he's a finger. But life's not black and white. In a certain sense, the Rebbe was telling him, you're holier than I am. Because all that I do for all my Torah, for all my mitzvahs, for all my Mrs. Maisius, and for all my Kavana, and so on and so forth, I still can't reach the level that you reach. And you're going to throw that away to marry this woman. That was, again, not a direct maysa, but that's the inyan of the maysa that I heard. I wish I knew all the details. You're going to give away all that tremendous kedusha that I could never reach, even though I'm the head. Again, it's not the words that I present, but the idea. You throw it away. So, a finger, a head, a this or that. Okay, it's true. But let's not black and white. And even though it's true, you could live without a finger. You could. But you're not shalem anymore. You're not complete. You're not a whole body. You're missing something. And so to the Jewish people. So yeah, is there a head? Yeah. There's also a heart. There's all different body parts. Some are more important than others. You can't live without a head or a heart. You could live without a finger. Chas v'shalom. You don't want to do that, but you could. But then you're not shalem anymore. So like Danny was saying, it's each one has something that the other doesn't have, and maybe even something that the other cannot have, like the kedusha of a kohen. You can't get that. You can't buy that. You want to become a Talmud Chacham? You could do that. Just learn a lot of Torah. You want to become a kohen? You can't. So, it's not so simple. Each one, as Danny said, each one has milas that the other doesn't, and there's chesroinus, and it's part of one big big network, one big picture. Okay, I think we'll wrap up here. Next week is the last week of the semester, and the goal is to conclude the Tanya next week with chapters 41 through 53. Wish me luck. That is the goal, to conclude the Tanya.
The last thing of the semester, what is that? This is like...
Next week's semester classes. Semester classes.
Really?
Yeah.
We have like a month left.
We have reading week.
Yeah, but we have a month left until January.
That's all finals.
This is a month left.
Reading week.
Okay, L'chaim and Afrei L'chanukah.